you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word, today we'll hear much about love. Our prayer is that you help us not just to hear, but to learn. And not just to learn, but then also truly to love. We do pray that the words of my mouth together with the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If I ask you to name your favorite gospel, which one of the four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, which one of the four would it be? And you tell me, and since there are four, I'm going to count to four, then you can tell me your favorite gospel. Ready? One, two, three, four. I think, if I heard you right, the majority said John. If you did, show me your hand. Probably a majority. You know, in such polls, when they're done, even with a little bit more science behind them, it is usually the gospel according to John that does come out on top of the list. It's most often the favorite of the four. In mission work, in Bible translation, the New Testament is usually translated first, before the translation of the Old Testament. And often in the New Testament, it is John that is translated first. Now, having studied the original Greek, I can tell you that any book of the New Testament not written by Paul is easier to read than the other half of the New Testament that he wrote. And I can tell you that Romans is perhaps the most difficult of all 27 books in the New Testament. But among the four Gospels, there's not much difference overall. I think its popularity might have to do with the fact that John 3:16 is in John. We want others to know how much God loves them. So much so that he sent his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him would have eternal life. In fact, it is oftentimes that you'll see only the Gospel of John printed for evangelism distribution. Not the whole Bible, not even just the New Testament, not the four Gospels, just the Gospel of John. He also wrote three letters that come near the end of our Bibles, then also wrote the Revelation given to him by God. The Gospel chronicles the life of Jesus. In the letters, he teaches us life with the assurance of salvation. And in the Revelation, he shows us God's plan for the future. If we can accept that John's writings are among the best loved of the Bible, it might also be easily accepted that love is the major theme in the writings we love so much. Love flows through the writing of John. It was in the first line of the second reading that Becca read a few minutes ago. 1 John 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. He starts with God's love for us, which is where it has to start. Now, Jesus directly called out to John, first to Andrew, who then went to find his brother Peter, then to James and John, fishermen, the sons of Zebedee. Now think about it. It's been said, and there have been times when I have been known to agree, that even the worst day fishing still beats the very best day at work. There had to be something in that call from Jesus that led John to leave his boats and his nets and the family business to just get up and walk away, to go and follow Jesus. And when he did, he learned about love. When Jesus was headed for Jerusalem, when it was almost time for him to return home to heaven, we read this in Luke 9. As the time approached for him, Jesus, to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. As he sent messengers on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. That must have worked. They, John at least, must have learned his lesson. When Jesus sits with the Samaritan woman at the well in Sychar, his disciples have gone into town. They've gone to buy food. And when they return, this is what we're told. His disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" John 8, the woman caught in adultery. The Pharisees brought a woman to him, we're told. "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such." And they say, "What do you say?" "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And one by one, they all turned and walked away. Watching Jesus, John saw love in action. The lesson, so can we. Lesson number two. John learned not only how much Jesus loves us, but about how we are supposed to love others. If you're still in John 3, go to verse 14. Excuse me, 1 John 3. If you're still in 1 John 3, go to verse 14. If you're not, go there anyway. Part of this you heard 2 weeks ago when we learned about Cain and Abel. I'd like for you to listen again. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brother, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. That's what a true believer looks like. They come in all shapes, all sizes, all colors. But there is one unmistakable mark on them all. They love with actions and in truth. Lots of folks know lots about the Bible. You can know all the facts of the faith, but still be spiritually dead. Our spiritual temperature, our vital signs are shown on the thermometer of love. We are told to lay down our lives for our fellow believers. If they have a need, we are to be the answer to it. 1 Corinthians 13 describes love. I'm pretty sure you read it. I'm almost just as sure that you've done that thing where you take the word love out and put your name in. And then you read the verse. It would go something like this. Ed is patient. Ed is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He is not rude. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. Ed does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Ed never fails. Now you try it. You put your name in the blanks. Ed is patient. Ed, I don't hear you, is kind. Ed does not envy. Ed does not boast. Ed is not proud. Ed is not rude. Ed is not self-seeking. Ed is not easily angered. Ed keeps no record of wrongs. Ed does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Ed always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Ed never fails. How's it feel? You know, for me, those last three words sum it up. Ed never fails. Ed always fails. I don't always love in action or in truth. And neither did John. But he saw in Jesus how he was supposed to. Jesus, quite simply, was and still is the greatest example of love. It's still 1 John, this time chapter 4, verses 9, 10, and 11. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It's almost a repeat of John 3:16. The message of the cross is the message of salvation. It shows us how much God loves us. And it is our example for loving others. John learned the lessons about love. Let's learn them too. How long has it been since you told someone about God's love? What have you done lately to show God's love to someone? God's love empowers you to love others. Are you? Are you learning the lessons of love? For since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused upon Christ Jesus until life eternal. Amen. Our worship continues this morning with the profession of our faith. We do so in the words of the Nicene Creed. You'll see those on the screen before you. Would you please stand?